Hey guys, welcome back to Talks with Maria in episode 223. We are talking about The Psychology of Money by Chris Hill, and it's just my opinion on the book. Enjoy. Hello, hello. Okay, we are on the road and I'm going to this store to get us a new dining table. And my husband has my kids right now, so I figured, you know, have a little bit of a recording session as I go truck across town to get this dining table. Anyway, I'm not getting it like a manhandling dining table woman. I'm just gonna go choose it. Then hopefully they can set up the whole delivery thing. Anyway, I'm in the middle of traffic, so I decided to pop on over here and do a quick episode. I have been into this new audiobook that I recently bought from Audible, and it is this book called The Psychology of Money by someone named something Russell. I can't really tell the book author right now, but I'll tell you later. But the title of the book is called The Psychology of Money, and it's so good. My takes on this concept of the psychology of money and what it really takes, even in my own opinion, in my own, like, however long I've been making my own money, my experiences of failed attempts to make money, or even failed attempts to keep the money, failed investments, and successful investments, and successful opportunities that I've been able to capitalize on. So the premise of The Psychology of Money, you know, really is all about, from my take on it, guys, and I want to say my take because someone else could listen to it and think completely different. My take on the book is just a reminder that money is not all about what you know to do with money, but it's all about your behaviors around money. So good. Just that statement alone was like, yeah, because usually when I get these books, right, on Audible, I do like a sample in Audible. If you know the app, you can look up the title and then do a sample, and the sample's like 5 minutes long. And in the sample, that's literally what he said, and I was hooked. I was like, yeah, I need to fucking listen to this shit right now, right? And so it's interesting because I think we fill ourselves up with all of these like money trackers and having to invest in portfolios or like diversifying our portfolios or even hiring a finance manager. You know, it's crazy because we actually don't serve ourselves any better when we do these things, or we just kind of focus more on the doing part versus the behaving aspect, the emotional part of money. And God, what the fuck is the deal with this highway? Like, why is this highway like this right now? And so I love that. I love the concept of, you know, like, fuck the trackers, fuck the, like, trying to download all these money apps and all of these, like, know your budget, you know, like, fucking figure this shit out, write this shit down, do it every month. Even last year and the few years prior, I was doing this Excel spreadsheet where I would budget out, like, my expenses, you know, business expenses, personal expenses, all the things that come in, all the things that come out on an Excel spreadsheet. And I was pretty consistent with it, but I felt still disconnected from my money. I still felt like I didn't know what was really happening. Like, I knew I was making money. I knew I was paying for things. You know, I was being responsible and taking care of all the things that I was obligated to take care of. But I still felt like there was like this dark void that I wasn't sure why it was there, right? This year I started this new thing where I literally, and if you guys know me, I love to journal. I love to journal. I love to write things down. I love to just literally doodle a fucking quote if it comes to mind. Like, I will doodle, you know, on it in my journal. At my desk, I have a journal, and I will doodle. Not like drawing, but like, you know, like if my mind says, oh, you should do this, I will write it down in my journal. Fuck my phone, fuck the devices, give me my fucking composition book, the black and white one that has the little white squiggly dots on it from like high school or elementary school. Like, that is my OG. Like, I have a million of those with just doodles and journal entries and even money things and business things and all these things. So this year I decided to manage my finances the way I am more naturally inclined to do, which is writing in this journal. So I did, and I started doing that, and I immediately saw a shift in just my awareness of money, of my own money, of how much money was coming in, how much money was coming out. I felt super connected to just even my money goals, because then I had like space to write my money goals, and it didn't look all like corporate. You know, I think Excel spreadsheets kind of make it look like corporate, and it kind of made it not feel like me. You know, it didn't, not that I'm not corporate. Yeah, you know what? I'm not corporate. I write shit down. So I wrote it. And so then anyway, I'm sharing this with you guys because it's not just one way that managing money will work. Like, you got to kind of play with it a little bit, kind of like, does this feel good? You know, try it this way 1 month, try it another way another month, and then try it, you know, a different way until it feels aligned for you. And as soon as I started doing that every month, I just knew more shit about my money, and my money started growing. Like, I started making more. Like, I have made more, I would say, the last half of my this year, because, and I don't know if it's because of this, but I have to say that's the biggest change, is me doodling down my numbers and like knowing what goes to where. You know, what are my goals? And I've accomplished fucking amazing goals, which I'm going to share with you guys towards the end of the episode. So exciting. And I don't know, like, it just feels really nice. Okay, so back to the book, Psychology of Money, right? Psychology of Money, what does it mean? What does it mean to you? And how do you perceive your money? What do you think about money, and how does it serve you, you know? I think Psychology of Money is also a spiritual, it's a spiritual sense, but it does talk a lot about, like, very, like, he doesn't call it greed, but it's instances where people go into bankruptcy or even have to go to prison because of greed, but he doesn't say it's greed. We all know it's fucking greed, but it's really the need to want more even when you have so much already. And I can't help but think about a previous client of mine whom, you know, I love all of my previous clients. Like, you know, the moments I've shared with them, the breakthroughs they've had, all of these amazing things that I've been able to work through with my clients in a really deep, meaningful way. I will always cherish that, and it will always have a really profound place in my heart for all of my clients. Old ones, clients I haven't spoken to in years, clients I just recently spoke to, clients that we don't work with each other anymore. every single one of my clients, all the breakthroughs we've had, you know, the work I do, you guys, is super, it's a very heart-to-heart type of work. You know, it's not just, hey, show me your numbers and let's hang up. It is, hey, tell me what's really happening. And a part of that is I've gotten really close to my clients. Even if I don't talk to them, I still have them in a really close place in my heart because of the growth they've had while they worked with me. You know, it really does feel, there's a very rewarding feeling that I can't almost like disrespect that. Like it's a very, I don't know if the word is, if holy is a proper word for this feeling, but it is kind of holy and very spiritual connection that in one moment in time I've had with my clients, even if we don't talk anymore, right? Anyway, and also for the ones that I still am connected with. Anyway, I don't know why I'm like there, but what I'm saying here is that there are so many things that, you know, my clients will make decisions around money where I already know that may or may not be the best decision sometimes with money. You know, either, you know, getting a new place or getting a new car or treating yourself to a vacation or, you know, treating yourself to a new bag or treating yourself to some new designer shoes, whatever. There are moments where I know, I don't know if you should really be doing that. However, I can only advise them to a point, and they are grown-ups and they can make their own final decision, right? Well, anytime I listen to these kind of books where it's like, hey, you know, if you're doing things to impress other people or even to say like you are doing this to kind of make yourself be seen as a more successful person or a more successful coach in the industry, whatever it is, that is probably not the best thing to purchase, because what if you in the long run can't afford it anymore, right? Then what? Then you have pie in your face. But that to me is where I think the learning has to happen, and it does have to happen in order for anyone to really learn about money.
In 2 miles, take exit 49 for Lamb Boulevard.
Thank you, directional person, for telling us about that right now. So 2 miles, guys, I gotta go right. So the idea here of the psychology of money is how do you know when enough is enough, right? Because you get your first set of clients, right? Let's say your goal is to make $5,000 a month. And then your next goal is to make $10,000 a month. Then your next goal is to make $20,000 a month. Then your next goal is to make $100,000 a month. Whatever those goals are, what if the things you're doing along the way deter you from that growth because of the greed and almost the wanting of something that you may or may not need? And that's what I mean by, like, even for me, you know, I always refer back to that time where I had gotten a investment.
In half a mile, take exit 49 for Lamb Boulevard.
Come on, dude. Just let me talk on my podcast. All right, in half a mile, though. Don't forget. It's going to talk. I know it. The moment I start talking, the lady's going to be like, fucking go right.
Take exit 49, then keep right at the fork.
I knew it, see? I have to make this right before I start back up, you guys, because she's going to interrupt me. I know it. La la la.
Keep right at the fork.
See? Told you. Okay. I just know if I keep talking right now, she's going to say, like, make the fucking right. All right. Okay, thank you.
Continue on North Lamb Boulevard for 3 miles.
Okay, we're good for 3 miles. All right, so there are times we will remember. That's a karaoke song that I don't know where that came from, and I don't even know the other part to that song. I just remember that intro. I think it's a Carpenter song. Okay, anyway, so my whole thing about this is that I think in order for anybody to be super successful with money is that we have to live within our means, right? We have to, if we make $50,000, how can we keep more of that $50,000 into our bank account or into the assets that we have, or even expanding our assets? And the idea behind all of this, you guys, is that why is everyone in this lane? What the fuck? The idea behind this is that there are three aspects that the author talks about. He says there is risk, there is luck, and there is skill. There are three aspects to money. And all of them not weighing heavier than the other, but equally bound to each other one way or another, and has to be respected as such, right? I say this as if I'm the fucking author. But I'm really speaking from the standpoint of what I realize as I'm listening to this book, is that risk, skill, and luck play a huge part in how much you make, how much you keep, and how much you will spend. Not just pure luck alone, not just sheer skill alone, and not just factoring risk into whether you should make the investment or not, or not, or whatever, purchase this or sell that, whatever the fucking risk is. It is all a huge game in the variable of making money. So what does that mean? Well, too many of us will think, for example, oh, I can make money, I've done it before. Or, oh, I can land this $30,000 client, I've done it before. And that kind of language and mindset really does lean very heavily on luck. Right? Like, I've been lucky before, it can happen again. I can use the law of attraction and it can happen again, right? But never do we want to just base it on that. You want to base it on the risk factor. Well, what could I risk if I just have only this factor of making money? What could I risk if I don't input any skill sets into making the money? So I want you guys to start thinking about how much do we lean on one thing versus utilizing all three aspects of making money. I'm going to say it again. Risk. Hold on. I lost my train of thought. Risk. Luck and skill. Risk, luck, and skill. And then this fucking lane turns into a turning lane. Fantastic. So what I want you guys to start thinking about is how much money can I keep? How much money do I have in savings? You know, Susie Orman says that the best amount of savings you should have is 8 months. 8 months! There was a time where I thought it was 3 months. Susie Orman says 8 months. I'm like, shit, okay. So it's more than double. It's almost triple. So we got to save up to 8 months worth of savings, right? And then also part of that is lowering our debt to income ratio. So if you have a credit card debt, revolving debt, maybe you have your rent, you have a car, you have your insurance, student loans, whatever your debt is, you have to lower that as much as possible. And then start growing your assets. And that could be like buying property, buying stocks, you know, maybe even investing in IRAs, Roth IRAs. A couple years ago, I started investing in life insurance plans. I have kids, so that was a great idea. And I want you guys to start thinking about that, right? So even if you think, okay, I deserve a nice ass car and I get to push a nice ass fucking luxury vehicle. And if that car payment is 50% more than your actual income, okay, car payment, and that comes with the insurance, because usually luxury cars are very expensive with insurance. If it's more...
In a quarter mile, turn left after Taco Bell, on the left, onto East Craig Road.
I've never heard that before. That's the first time they've ever said, like, an actual, whatever that thing is, like, Taco Bell. I want her to say it again. Is she gonna say it again? She's not gonna say it again.
Turn left after Taco Bell on the left onto East Craig Road.
Oh my god, did you guys hear that? It's recorded. I hope you guys can hear that. That was hilarious. Okay, so y'all know I'm near Taco Bell now. Okay, so anyway, that is where, you know, I think a lot of us want to buy things to make ourselves be more rich and be perceived as more rich than we really are. One of the most ironic things is having a designer purse and having only $2 in it, or having 15 bucks in your debit card that is in that designer purse. Another thing is if you're pushing a fucking luxury vehicle and you don't even own your property and you're renting, that's a problem, you guys. That shows your priorities are all about making yourself look and be perceived more rich than you really are. There has to be a shift in how we perceive spending money, making money, keeping money. All of this is just due to what? Impressing other people. And what did I just recently post? To become free, your soul will be free if you let go of the need to impress other people. You become broke as fuck if you are worried about impressing other people. Broke as fuck, man, and unhappy as hell, because at the end of the day, you're going to be left with yourself. And at the end of the day, it's going to turn green and the lady's going to talk. Here we go. Let's hear what she has to say. Make a left at Taco Bell.
In 800 feet, turn right onto Flossmore Street.
Oh no, that's actually right over here. Okay.
Turn right onto Flossmore Street, then turn left.
I actually floss a lot, so this is a really interesting street to be on. Okay, guys, I'm at my destination, so I will catch you guys on the flip side when I drive back. Okay, I am back. So, where am I at? I'm not really sure. I know I was kind of ranting about money this, money that. Really big aspect about fucking life. So, there is a level of respect that I think people lack when it comes to money. And there is more fear than it is like a love respect situation. And, you know, this is where I think a lot of people have to learn. Even for me, like, you know, how can I really create a relationship with money where I feel really, I know really what's happening with my money, how to create more of it, what can I use that is at my disposal to be able to generate more? And then what can I do in my life to keep more of the money and eliminate any potential leakages of money? So that is what one of the things I did. I actually got rid of a lot of things that I don't need. I stopped paying for ChatGPT. No, not ChatGPT. I stopped paying for that blue check mark from Instagram. That was a huge waste of money, you guys. I also stopped paying for my Teachable program, only because I now have moved everything over to YouTube. And I don't know how this man's gonna cross the street, man. He needs to use a fucking crosswalk. It's just crazy over here. What am I talking about? Oh, eliminating expensive.
In a quarter mile, turn right after Taco Bell on the right onto Northland Boulevard.
You know, this Taco Bell is popping, okay, via the directional pad. That's fucking hilarious. I can't stand it because I'm supposed to be in this lane and I don't know how I'm supposed to be in this lane. Sorry, buddy. Appreciate it. So my whole thing is that, like, what can I do and what can you do to keep more money in? What can you do to keep more money in and not, you know, almost like think. And this is one of the things that I got in the book was, what could I do to, like, okay, I work so much, like, this is a lot of Americans. I worked all week this week, and this weekend I deserve to go have a night out, right? And you blow $500 on a night out, or even $1,000. $500 isn't shit. Like, fucking make it $1,000. Make it like a really grandiose night, right? And what the author was saying about having that thought process is that's how you stay where you're at. That's how you don't progress forward, because you think you have done more than enough for your life. Now you
get
to
go. Take the next right after Taco Bell on the right onto Northland Boulevard.
I love that. I love when she says it. It just tickles my heart and soul. She's going to say it a few more times. I know it. Right? Let me see. Let me sigh. So I do believe that there is like this thing where if people, you know, continue to have this thought process.
Continue on Northland Boulevard for 2 miles.
You will not progress forward. You will stay the same because you work so hard and then you spend that money that you worked hard for and blew it. And it's this grandiosity idea of, well, I shouldn't be working this hard. Now I get to treat myself. But the mere idea of you working because that's a part of life is the reality of it, right? The reality is nothing's for fucking free. Nothing is for free. Nothing is for free at all. At the fuck all. And there's a level of almost like entitlement to it, because I do think, and he didn't mention this in the book, but I do think the reason why we have this level of entitlement is because of the social media presence of people, you know, making 6, 7, 8 figures on the internet, on social media, on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter. And it does create this like, well, I get to have that too. Why can't I have that? And what is that based on? These people have based, you know, these people that kind of, I don't know if they landed on this just whale of cash because of a business idea, or it was given to them, but most of the time it's pure luck, right? It's just luck. And we can't, where's the line? Is the line over there? Is the line over here? I don't know. All right, we'll move with the rest of the folks. We look like idiots, but it's fine. So my whole thing is like, God, just doing that was silly. It really made me lose my train of thought. So where are you like that in your life? You know, I work so much this month. Now I get to treat myself. Now, is treating yourself bad? No. But is it frequently happening to the point where you don't see progress in your accounts? You don't see progress in your assets, right? You don't see progress beyond what people perceive you as. So let's say you rent a really nice place and it is a certain amount and it's really fancy and nice, right? You also fucking rent a car. That's really what car payments are. Car payments is our, you rent it, you pay the monthly fee until you own it, until it's yours. It's not yours. It could easily be taken away. Let's say you do these two things and it's just all not yours, but you just happen to be throwing away all your money on it. At the end of the day, do you own it? Do you have assets? Are you building asset wealth? And oh, and that's a good one, because there is a difference between being rich and being wealthy. Being rich and being wealthy. There is a lot of people who are rich, right? And being rich are those people who live in LA, who push a Beamer, a Benz, a Jag, a whatever the fuck designer purse, designer dog. Yeah, there's designer dogs, those little mini capoodle thingies. What are they called? Mini golden doodles. What the fuck? Who came up with this name? But whatever. I consider those a designer dog. It's almost like $10,000. You get to have a designer brand dog. So my whole thing about that is this. There's a difference between rich and there's a difference between wealth.
In a quarter mile,
right?
Use the middle two lanes to stay on Northland Boulevard.
He threw up a peace sign. He's like, yo, I just cut you off, peace. I don't not hate that, actually. So, you know, when you think about rich people versus wealthy people, I think there is a sheer confusion between the two. You know, rich people have a perception, and there's a perception that they uphold, which is they
use
drive
the middle two lanes to stay on Northland Boulevard.
They
then
drive,
continue straight to stay on Northland Boulevard.
They drive fancy cars, right? They drive.
Continue straight to stay on Northland Boulevard.
All right, lady, you're getting in my way now. You need to be quiet. Okay, no more. She doesn't even talk about Taco Bell anymore. Okay. You know, there is the rich people who have that rich perception, right? Living in a nice home, renting a really nice car, even owning maybe some designer things that maybe they shouldn't be owning because they don't have really some assets, right? There's those rich people, and then there's wealthy people. Wealthy people are the people who actually fucking drive a Ford Focus, own the Ford Focus outright, and have hella money in the bank. Hella money in the bank. They got stocks and bonds. They have real estate property. They own all their fucking houses, and they're okay with not wearing designer shit. And they're okay with not flossing like that. And there's a level of wealth that I think people, you know, looking in, don't get that perception, right? There's not a perception of them to be rich because they live modestly. They drive a modest car. They have plans for their money where it grows and can be passed down to their kids and kids' kids. And there is a level of humility when it comes to making money and not being frivolous with money. And that's also something I learned in the book, is frugality is actually what's needed to make more money. And frugality doesn't necessarily come from scarcity by any means. Frugality is more all about the respect of money. And okay, I had to turn the map lady on because I don't know where I'm going. So she's going to be a part of this show. So frugality is a very interesting concept.
In a quarter mile, turn right onto North Pecos Road.
That I don't think a lot of people see the way the author of the book explains it. You know, he explains it as frugality is just a level of respect you get to have with
turn
money.
Turn right onto North Pecos Road.
And I don't know where the fuck we're going, but whatever. And I think a lot of people instead see, you know,
continue
when...
for 2 miles.
Okay, I know where I'm at. I know where I'm at now. Okay, hang up. Not, don't hang up. Stay on the phone. Whoever's listening, stay with me. We got too many things going on. Okay, so frugality is a big deal, right? For me, I had an aha moment when he was explaining the concept of frugality and why we lack it and why we just want to blow every penny in our bank account. And I'm connecting this on a more spiritual sense of money, where I also talk about in my own teachings of spirituality and money, is that there is a financial thermostat that we're all used to. So if we're all used to making, and this is, I've spoken about this before, if you were to gauge the last 3 years of your income and like figure out the average of your income for the past 3 years, right? So let's say, is it your turn? Is it my turn? Okay. It's definitely my turn. And so like, let's say that you at an average make about $50,000 for the past 3 years on an average. That is your average income for the past 3 years. That is, you guys, your financial thermostat. Your financial thermostat when it comes to making money, which means if you are trying to reach making six figures and your financial thermostat is 50,000, you have to do some cleansing around your thought process about how much money you deserve. Now, how is that connected to frugality? Frugality is what will cause you to heal that. Right? So many times I think we encounter money and we think we have all this money. Let's go and blow it and let's buy this and buy that. And it's okay. I can afford that every month because I'm making this much now. And the problem with that is that you are disrespecting the concept that money can be given to you and also equally taken from you with the quickness, right? As quickly as you took it and received it, it can also be quickly removed from your possession. And frugality allows you to have that level of respect towards money. And when you have that level of respect towards money and you kind of honor it as such, you know, like, hey, you know, I get it. I can make this money, but I also know that it can be easily taken away. And what do I need? You know, what are the things that I really need around here? What are the things that I don't need? What do I really need? A new bag? Do I really need new shades? Do I need a fancy car? You know, do I need a designer this, a designer that? Do I need a vacation that is going to cost this much? Because there's also alternatives that you can take. You know, there are alternatives that you can take. And I think there has to be a level of, again, I'm going to say the word, frugality, when it comes to how we spend our money, if we want to see progression forward and how much money we are keeping. Because that's really the key. You make $100,000, you spend $100,000, you're broke. You make $30,000, you keep $15,000 of that, you're $15,000 richer than that $100,000 earner who also spends $100,000. Do you see the difference? And I want you guys to see that. It's not about how much money you make, you guys. It's how much money you keep of what you make is what counts. I'm going to reference a point in my life where I was making about $50,000 a year. And it was back in 2010, something like that. So 50 for me was a lot, right? And also I didn't have kids. I didn't own a home. I didn't have anything. I didn't have a lot of bills to pay. I was just kind of rolling in the dough. Like I had a lot of money. Like I was just working. I just kept my head down and just worked. I also was coming off of that investment business that failed. So I think I was very humble at the time. I learned a lot during that business failure that I could lose anything and that everything can be, that I could lose everything that I make, number one. But then also at the same time, I can rebuild it, number two. So interestingly, during that time, I was very humble with the money I made to the point where I wouldn't even cash my checks because at the time we didn't do direct deposits. It was back in fucking 2010, right? Direct deposits weren't a thing yet. So regular checks just came, like, here's your check. I would just hold on to my checks and I would save them for at least 3 or 4 checks at a time. And I remember I'd go to Bank of America and they'd always look at me like, damn, you're just fucking cashing in all these checks and the money just sits there. And the money just sat there. And the thing about it is that I was going through that humble experience of failing at that business. So I really respected money where I didn't make like impulsive buys. I didn't even buy myself anything fancy. I drove a used Benz that I bought outright for $10,000. It was a Benz, but I paid it off and it was mine. So everything that I owned was really like frugal, right? I had designer things, but I didn't buy it. My boyfriend at the time bought it for me and I was sitting on all this cash and I would not go shopping. I didn't go shopping. I wouldn't spend a lot of money. I was kind of coming from that really humble place. And that's where I want you guys to kind of have awoken in you where, how can I be more humble with money? You know, there is this thing where social media will be so prevalent nowadays where we scroll through our timeline and we see all these people doing these fancy things. And it kind of forces us to want to do the same. And we're left with a fancy timeline, but you're broke. Do you know what I mean? And like, how fulfilling is that at the end of the day? I don't think it's very fulfilling. Because all you're doing is you're just trying to keep up with the Joneses. And that is what the book was saying. He was talking about how rich people are just trying to impress other rich people. And wealthy people are just trying to be wealthy by themselves. And they don't really care about other people. They just focus on them. That's why they have a paid off car that is a Ford Focus or a fucking Honda Civic or whatever the fuck kind of modest vehicle it is, right? And so I want you guys to think about that from the standpoint of, how are you treating money? Are you kind of just blowing it? Do you feel like, well, I have consistent clients, I have consistent paychecks, you know, I already know what money is coming in and what money is coming out. What can I do to just spend more money? And instead, changing your perception around that to be, what thought process do I need to take into my own life where spending money on just frivolous things is not something I want to do anymore? And that's the reason why in the beginning of this episode, I started with how the book explained what money was, right? And it is, money is not about what you do, but money is all about how you behave, right? So let's say like your neighbor drives a brand new car. Are you going to behave in a way where now you're going to want to buy a new car because your neighbor did? You know, or are you going to just be modest and be okay with it? There's a difference also if you do something you don't want to do. Like, let's say, you know, you don't want to own a crappy car because it makes you feel shitty driving a crappy car, right? Okay, great. Don't drive a crappy car, but you don't also have to drive a fucking Jag or a fucking Maserati. You can drive a decent car and have a decent car payment and still live well below your means. You see the difference? There is a point in life where I think we gotta spend wiser, right? And not impulsively and not through excitement and not through trying to impress others. Point fucking blank. And I think that's the biggest aspect to people being broke and racking up hella credit card debt is that, you know, impressing others is a big fucking factor. It's such a big deal for people. And I think when you kind of understand that, okay, is this decision based on impressing others or is this decision really solely about me? And how I feel and how and what I really want, right? And when you start thinking like that, what you say, what you do, and what you think align. And that is a recipe for what? Happiness. Based on who? Y'all should know this because I say this a lot. Gandhi. And guys, it's so important to learn about this in your own spiritual journey of being healed, because I think a lot of us have our own traumas with money. And if we don't learn more about money, learn more different concepts about money. This is just another concept that I've learned. There's so many other concepts that I've learned about money that now I'm sharing with you guys because I've learned a lot, you know, like the concept that making money is a three aspect situation: luck, skill, and risk. These three things is what either makes us rich or makes us broke, and it needs to be heavily weighed on equally. And then the concept of frugality, really big deal. And being frugal isn't a bad thing, it's actually pretty smart. And there's a way to actually get what you want at a price that's not terrible. You know, at a price that's not so crazy bad. And, you know, it doesn't have to be what everyone else thinks it is. It has to be more what you want it to be. And I think that also can help with healing your own journey of life, of really understanding who you are and what you came to do on this planet. All right, guys, that is it for me. This is a longer episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you guys have any questions, please email me at info@talkswithmaria.com. If you enjoyed this show, please remember to subscribe, like, and share. If you are interested in collaborating, please send me an email, info@talkswithmaria.com.